Yeah, the kids want to play competition too. And we talked about this before, but a lot of these student athletes, you know, growing up in the AAU Summer League circuit have already played against a lot of these guys too that are upper echelon players. And that's what they want to play. They want to see how they fare against this, you know, their opponents. And this is what they want. So I'm glad they're playing a top schedule as far as just a bunch, instead of just a bunch of cupcakes.
Back to the phones we go, 865-200-5402. The great Mark Griffin would never be called a cupcake here on your Smart Way Garza Law Firm. Tennessee basketball overtime on a night where the Vols lose. This young team growing up before our very eyes. No Jordan Bone tonight. No real distribution of the basketball per se. But still, Tennessee does finish in the game with 11 assists, 6 in the second half, to their counterparts, 13 assists in the game. Tennessee did some things well. You just never got the feeling, kind of like you said, Griff, even though you had three players fouled out, or two players fouled out, rather, in Nelson and Collins, and then you had Perkins, Williams, Goss, and Williams, all with four personal fouls, along with Tilly. But you still never got the sense that Tennessee was going to win that game. At least I didn't. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I felt that I didn't know if they were going to have enough time to come back. But, you know, the key was just getting underneath the 10-point marker. And anytime as a student athlete you can get under 10 and you feel like you've got a shot to win.
Absolutely.
And it just, you know, it just they, I don't think they, I hate to say they ran out of time.
Yeah.
It just, they didn't make things happen efficiently to make sure they were in a position, you know, to win the game, but they did cut it to four.
It was awesome. Cut it to four, had a shot, had a three ball that kind of was a good look, would have made it one. I mean, we could have had a crazy interesting game there if that ball goes in.
And I was just pleased once again with the fan support. The people really got behind the team.
Yep.
You know, during the run. So that was nice.
We have an awesome, 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 awesome basketball following. Thousands of people listening to us right now. Several making their way back from Nashville. Thank you for being there. Spread the word. We'll be on after the East Tennessee State game, which occurs on the eve of my birthday. Bring gifts and throw money. And also, I'm turning 50, by the way, Friday, Griff. It's not too traumatic.
Great.
Think you've already? Have you already taken the plunge?
Yes.
Was it
the Maui Classic with my 50th, Tony?
Was it traumatic?
Not at all. It was a great day.
I think I'm probably going to go to like Arby's. Let's go back to our phones, Gary. Next call in. Hello and welcome on your Smart Way Garza Law Firm Tennessee basketball overtime. Hello.
Happy birthday to the Sweetwater, Merry Christmas to the Sweetwater Flash.
Sweetwater Flash.
I appreciate you, Donnie Boy. I mean, I appreciate you getting us updated there on the Green Acres, man. I knew that too, man.
Yeah, a bunch of people on Twitter. We found out on Twitter right now that Mrs. Garrett from the Facts of Life was Charlotte Ray. Eva Gabor was the one, and Zsa Zsa was the one that I think had 13 husbands. She got busy.
Hey, what's up, Crime Dog McGriff?
What's up, ZR?
No, this is TR.
No, that's I'm sorry, what'd I say? ZR, I meant TR. What's up, buddy?
No, I don't have that laugh like ZR Friday, man. That was awesome, man.
Where did
he get that? How does he laugh? Tony, ZR's laugh is
I can't do it. But he does that laugh, and then when he oinks, man, I mean, he dropped the bottom out of one on Friday. He was in Barry White range, man, when he oinked. It was down from the pit of his belly.
That laugh he's got, man, it comes like from his lower intestines.
Yes, everything he does is from his lower intestines, brah.
It's like, I cannot believe, man, he's still got that. I mean, it's like timeless, man.
Timeless. Yeah.
But man, I'm so proud of when we fought back. I'm just so disappointed that when we fought back, I'm looking at we had three timeouts.
Yeah.
I'm 2020's hindsight. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. if we'd have called timeout when we cut it to the Hubs made up for his, he was getting jealous of Mostella, and Hubs tried something in the lane. It was not a good shot, but he made up for it and got fouled. Had a chance to make a 3-foot play. He missed the free throw. We could cut it to three. But Barnes, no orange on Barnes. Ricky, nobody on my staff got orange on. I'm in my home state, the capital of Tennessee. I say the dude, some dude sitting way back there in the back, some graduate assistant or whatever it is, he's got an orange tie on. He's the only dude on the bench with any freaking orange on. And I just had to get that off my chest, man. I do not respect that. I don't respect somebody who cannot wear any orange or anybody on his staff. I just don't get that, man. But I respect where the team fought tonight. Tonight, I appreciate what we got back in the game, but you know, without Fulkerson, without Bone, without who am I leaving out?
It's those two. It's huge. I mean, those two are huge.
Yeah.
And to be down early like that, to be down 10-2 early, for you don't even blink, and you're getting blown. It looks like, Griff, at one point, it looked like that thing was going to be a complete blowout. But this team finds a way. And sooner or later, they're going to start winning a couple of these. That's the moral of the story. In fact, it's nearly miraculous in a bad way to play that closely against four very good teams and not get out with at least one win. Because the chances are you should have won one of those games.
Yeah, it's a game of runs, and unfortunately it was a long run for Gonzaga the first half, but you've got to have a go-to guy, and we've talked
Got to have a pro.
We'll talk about it through the whole season.
Yeah.
You got to have a pro.
Yep.
And a go-to guy, and tonight it was Mostella who was the go-to guy, and I was hoping they'd get in his hands a little bit more. He's just got a great, an unbelievable jump shot from when people are guarding him. He seems to get up in the air about 2 or 3 feet, it seems like. Just goes, I mean, when people are closely guarding him, he still is well focused. And I would just like to see the ball in his hands a little bit more than Lamonte Turner, even though Turner, you know, was a high scorer.
Yep.
But it just coming down to the end, Mostella's the one that got him back into the game.
Turner will pump up some shots now. Turner played 21 minutes in the game tonight and shot himself 10 balls. So he'll get him some shots off now. TR, I thank you. Have a Dwight Gooden. 865-200-5402. Griff, he said earlier, now his charge was, and some people look at it this way, obviously there's some heat between these two players, or somebody said, I'm going to get mine, or I'm going to get theirs, or I'm going to... Guys aren't thinking about that when they're out there playing the game. They're just going to play what's in front of them and the situation that presents itself. And it doesn't look to me like we have people trying to do too much, or... It doesn't look to me like we really have any dumb players. I don't know any other way to say it than just to say it like that.
No, I agree. And if you did have someone that was more selfish than another in that system, it would show. And you know, you'd have Coach Barnes pulling that individual out of the game, I truly believe. Because one thing about Coach Barnes, he's not ashamed to pull someone after a turnover or two. They're out. I mean, he didn't even give them a chance after two or, you know, more than two turnovers. And the same thing when it comes to bad shots. So when you're in there, you got to play in the system and be a system type player, to be successful, with this program.
Do you think he should have, when they get within four, as TR said, and you get that thing within four, should he have at some point there taken a timeout after the three that Keith liked the three. I thought it was a little quick, the shot there, from Turner. I thought that was a little bit of a quick shot, the quick three, right before the turnover.
Yes.
What is your view on that? Would you have liked to have seen the coach there get a timeout and go, okay, guys, we're in this thing, or you just keep the pressure on and keep doing what, I mean, either way, you could look at it either way. I wonder what your viewpoint is.
I would lean more towards the play on, because you've worked on it in practice and throughout the season to know, you know, where you are to be in the court and the play you're running, the setup, ball movement and the motion offense they were running. So really, no, I didn't feel there was any need to stop the clock, because once again, you had Gonzaga in serious foul trouble. Why give them a chance to give their guys,
good point,
you know, give them an opportunity to regain and get some a breather? And I thought, while you had them down and you had them by the throat, then don't give them a chance to regroup, because they had the ball. I just didn't think it was a good shot. One thing I've always learned when guys take quick 3-point shots, Tony, is you can always get a 3-point shot anytime during the shot clock process.
Yeah.
But can you get a better shot than a
right.
three
right.
if you move the ball?
Right.
Now, if it's coming towards the end, or if someone's obviously, if they're wide open, then you know that's okay to take a shot. But if it's early in the shot clock, it's kind of questioned. But you can always get a 3-point shot. I've always been coached that, and coached that to my kids. But can you get a better shot with a pass?
If you shoot that ball there, and you're Turner, so you agree with me that shot's too quick. You agree with me?
I think it's too quick. I don't think there was any need to have that quick
yeah.
jump shot.
Where's
you
it
got
going?
Montella, right. as hot as he is, and you can run
that
your system,
TR's
or
point.
Even get the ball inside
yeah,
and get another their big man
yeah.
to foul out.
Yep.
I mean, at one point, with 8 minutes left, they had
yep.
four guys with four fouls.
Yep, makes terrific sense. Let's go back to the phones. I mean, they got all these guys with fouls. Let's continue to work, pound them. I mean, who would have thought that Tennessee would have been the aggressor, and Gonzaga, with all that firepower, with all those bodies, with all that depth? I mean, I never foresaw that when it was 10-2. If I'd have told you that's the way that game was going to play out, you'd have said to me, well, I just saw the Titans win in Kansas City, and I just saw Basilio's Eagles go for two at the end of a game for no damn apparent reason, so I guess anything's possible. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome into our next caller.
Boss Man Griffin, how we doing tonight?
Hey, brother, what's going on?
Many happy returns from the 615 in Music City.
Yes, sir. Home of the Music
City
Bowl. For the
Vols, Tony, they represented tonight. We
represented. Sure did. They sure did. Did you go?
Absolutely.
Did you have a good time?
I had a good time, and I got to tell you this. I can see how an observer from a distance might think the Titans would have had an effect on that crowd today. I can tell you I sat with all Titans fans. There are plenty of Titans fans cheering for the Tennessee basketball Vols in that arena.
I'm glad to hear that.
And there was a minor eruption from the suites, particularly when Suckup hit that game-winning field goal.
Yes.
Including the one I was sitting in, which was full of Titans fans.
That's an awesome, terrific, tremendous win for that organization. And I give them credit, because they went for two at the end of the game, didn't get it, and then came back, and Andy Reid mismanaged that football game to give them a chance to get the winning field goal at the end. And I think Suckup hit with a 52 or 53-yarder. It was unbelievable in those elements for him to get down with no delay. And Andy Reid, the kick before, called timeout and allowed Suckup to gauge how much distance he needed, because his first one was short, but his second one was good by plenty. What a great football game.
It was fun, but we're not here to talk about NFL.
We're not
talking about the Tennessee Vol basketball team. A couple thoughts on Gonzaga first. My observation, Griffin, tell me if you see something different. Guys, in Gonzaga, I see a team with a bunch of really talented basketball players, but a team right now that's not great. They're okay, but they're not great. They're big guys to me, with the exception of that Ogre, 24, and he's an ogre. Don't kid yourself. We're pretty underwhelming. And I'll say this about him. He's a good player, but the game got in his head a little bit late in the first half. And I would have thought that they would have gone back to him a lot on pick and rolls in the second half. And either they did, and he wasn't open, or they went away from it. Because he could have manhandled anybody we had down in the post.
Griff, your thoughts?
I think the caller brings up a good point. The big guy was more limited. You knew, and I'm sure they scouted him on this, but every time he got the ball, he went one direction, and that was over his right shoulder because he's lefty. And you know, he could only jump about a couple inches off the floor, and you saw Grant Williams and even, you know, Sweet Lou did the best they could to stop him, but they didn't look, you know, it just seemed like Gonzaga never looked to force the ball inside throughout the game. They relied a lot on a good motion, but I think this is a very good team. I mean, I don't think they're ranked eighth in the nation for anything, but they're just well coached and well disciplined, but they've got balance. And you don't see just one star. You've got many guys that can score. And I think, Tony, correct me if I'm wrong, but four guys scored double figures.
That's correct.
So they've got balance and not much a drop-off when they did go to the bench. And speaking of height, I love the Zach Collins kid, which is a freshman, seven-footer.
Yes.
I think this kid has got a great, great future.
He's their pro. He's their pro.
One of the few times. He's a pro.
Yeah.
One of the few times, Tony, and I'd be interested, the caller would agree with this. I've not seen a game this year where you had 2 7-footers on the court at the same time.
It's a dying breed. It's a dying art, the big man. And the Collins kids, to your point, when they got that thing into a 4-point game, they ran a couple trips down the court through him. Go back and watch what they did. And that's what having... When people say, why do you harp on recruiting? Well, it's real simple. You gotta have horses, cause in moments at the end of games, you go, here's the ball. Now go win the game. That's how this stuff works. And this kid finished with 10. Actually, Griff, they had 5 players tonight in double figures, including your guy, Karnowski, who never quit chirping to the refs. That guy never quit bitching, did he, B.O.B.? I mean, that guy bitched.
No, he was nonstop the entire game.
He got the Bill Lane Beer Award tonight. I mean, he bitched the whole time.
Well, that parlays nicely into the second piece, which was Fuse technical. And you could see it coming, because here's what was going on. And, Tony, you mentioned the friendly whistle for Tennessee. Tennessee was getting a lot of calls on touch fouls on offense on Gonzaga's end of the floor in the first half, right? Because that's the way they were going in the first half.
Agreed.
And then Gonzaga got called at least twice and maybe 3 times on Tennessee's end of the floor when Gonzaga was on offense for clearing out the lane with those big 7-footers. And Few started chirping at the refs early about that. And you'll notice when he got that technical, he was yelling at the ref who had just literally simultaneously blown a whistle for a touch foul on Tennessee.
Yeah.
So Few not only got the call he wanted, then he got teed up, and guys, I promise you, I counted non-shooting 5 in a row, and I'm not saying trips down the court, but 5 in a row touch fouls on Tennessee after Few got teed up. He got his point across the official, and it helped his team out moving forward. It was a well-timed technical. If you're going to get one, that's a good time to get one.
And I'll tell you this about him. He's excellent at what he does. You know, you never see that guy show too much emotion. But yet at the same time, he's not statuesque. His team plays the way I like to see. I like balance. And you know what? One final point for you, B.O.B., as we talk with you tonight. I don't know if you stayed up last year and watched us on the coast, but we actually did one of these call-in shows after last year's game, and I think that thing's tipped off at like 11 Eastern time. And I'm sitting on here, and my wife looked at me, and she was like, it's like 2:30 in the morning, and she goes, are you still on? I mean, like, what are you doing? Anyway... This game tonight resembled last year's game a whole lot. We had them on their heels at the end of that game last year, and they wanted no Moss. Last year, we almost cracked them, and this year, we came pretty damn close, and I'm not sure which of those two games is more out of nowhere, because they both were kind of out of nowhere. Now, you guys were at tonight's game. Do you see a resemblance between the two games as we played them twice now?
What I saw, Tony, more than anything else, was they were just a little bit better than us in guard play tonight than we were.
There's no doubt about that.
And that goes down to Lamont Turner's 2 turnovers. Yeah. Clay, I guess, had one, and Lamont had one at the end of the game. And God bless Lamont Turner, but that's 2 in a row. He's got to figure it out. He cannot drive to the hoop against a 7-footer when the game's on the line. That's not his play.
Mm.
Great point.
Mm. Great talking to you, man. Thank you, brother.
All right, last thing, Tony. Yes. Last thing, Griff, and I'll jump off here.
Yes, sir.
I realize TR is probably 8 or 12 natties into it already, so But I actually do agree with him. We got to find Rick Barnes some orange and some orange for those coaches.
Do you really agree with that?
Yeah, we got to find some orange. I'm not beating them up. I'm not harping on them. I'm not going to make a big deal about it. We got to get some orange on that bench for those coaches.
Griff, what do you?
They get a clothing contract somewhere. I mean, in that clothing contract, whatever Clother and Knoxville's taking care of them, get some orange, put something on, even put a little thing in your just anything with orange. Period. I don't care if it's your collar.
Yeah, lapel pin, pocket square.
I'm not going to go.
We got to get some orange.
I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there with you guys because I'm seen as a guy who gets on Rick Barnes incessantly, and that's just too. What's the term? Easy. I'm worried about getting ball players. I wonder when he goes on the road and he's out there at these camps, if he's out there at these camps, if he wears orange. I mean, it's a legit question. It's a legit question because he's in wearing it during games. No offense. Not trying to offend anybody. Not trying to make anybody mad. TR does make a good point, but I'm not going to harp on that. I want to get ball players.
True.
Thank you, B.O.B.
Love you guys. Merry Christmas.
Love, man. Merry Christmas to you. I think the thing, Griff, that really frustrates me about the early going of the Barnes era is that if he just applied himself a little bit recruiting-wise, just a little bit, to go with the complementary players he's got, man, we could have a hell of a time here. We could have a lot of fun. We could win a lot of games and be a factor. Am I wrong?
No, I think you're right. We had discussed this. You just need one, and not one and done. But like you said, a top 50, top 100 type player like a Gonzaga has, they started somewhere as well. You know, they had to start with that one player, and you build on that one player. I mean, obviously now they've got several McDonald All-Americans, and the kid we were talking about, Collins, played in the 2016 McDonald's All-American game, and he's a true freshman. I mean, but I don't see him going pro after this year. So you need guys like, you know, something like that that can come in and play. They don't have to be a McDonald's All-American and play on, you know, at the end of the season, but just someone that's a top 75 type player that can be there in the clutch to carry them through at the end and be a consistent offensive threat.
Last year's game, by the way, was 86-79, according to Chuck Dotson here on Facebook Live. And that is so close to what this year's game was. Absolutely amazing. Robert Hubbs, the following quote, Griff, I ran this by Keith Hatfield, I'm going to run it by you. If we're coming out flat, it's my fault. Put the blame on me. I'm the senior. My guys came out flat today. That's on me. Did you ever think, ever, that you would hear RH3 talk like that, Griff?
No. I think it shows a lot to his maturity as a senior to say that he's going to, in essence, use this term to put the players on his back. But he's showing some leadership, and that's what this team needs. They've got just him and Lou.
Yep.
You're going to get more of the leadership from Robert Hubbs. Not that he has to be a vocal leader. You can lead without being the rah-rah guy. You don't have to be the one high-fiving and tackling your players when they come off the bench and stuff. That's not leadership. Leadership is leading. You can lead by example.
The term is own it. Own it, Griff. That's the term.
Practice.
Griff, the term is own it that we use.
Oh, that's it. We've got to own it. That's right. Another Butch term, isn't it? He's been doing that this season, and I know tonight he may have scored maybe 10 points. I don't know if she went through the stats or not.
Yeah.
But at least he was a factor in the game and had some shots.
Yeah.
To be involved in the game and not just be an afterthought, and that was nice to see.
This Williams kid is just my most pleasant surprise, and, in some ways he's kind of Barkley-esque. Because you look at him and you go, there's no way he can play out there. He's too little. But he's athletic. Takes up space. I'm not comparing him to Charles Barkley. That's stupid. I'm not going to embarrass myself. But he's got kind of a little bit of that vibe to him, doesn't he, Griff? Am I wrong?
Yeah, he's a fighter. And what I like about him, he keeps his composure. And one example, it probably wasn't on TV, was ball went loose. Someone from Tennessee threw it over to the sideline. The referees were standing there. Well, who ran over and got the ball? But Grant Williams ran over, didn't have to. and grabbed the ball and gave it to the referee. And I was like, man, what a character kid. I mean, he's working the refs in an indirect way right there. So it just shows a lot about him and his basketball savvy and just got a great attitude, it seems, on the court and just getting better. And Tony, I saw him play this summer at the Summer League, and I know that Knoxville Summer League is more of a guard game. I never thought that he would have gotten on the court the way he played this summer in the limited time that I saw him. So kudos for him for the hard work he's put in.
Mm. You know, before we go back to our phones, and by the way, 865-200-5402 is our number. Smartway, Garza Law Firm, Tennessee, basketball overtime. I want to thank my friends at Smartway down at the 8,000 block of Kingston Pike. Christmas around the corner. Go and check them out, and you will be blown away by their selection, by the price, and then the terms. It's incredible. What can I say? And my friend Marcos Garza and the Garza Law Firm, 2016, better for the Basilios, thanks to you helping us on a matter. Boy, I owe him a great debt of gratitude. Before we go back to our phones, Griff, we were talking about this whole, and thank you, Marcos Garza, just about this team. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's grab another call. And then I got a couple things to tackle, and then we'll get out of here. As we get our next call in, we're 90 minutes in to your Smart Way, Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Hello and welcome.
Tony.
Yes.
That was hard on our offensive coordinator. As far as football, but I'm changing gears. Rick Barnes knows what he's doing.
Yes.
He was handcuffed with the people that he had. You know, so.
What does that mean, handcuffed? Explain it to me.
He had nothing there in the plate, nothing there left. The cupboard was empty.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. He did a real nice job coaching last year's team. He's done a real nice job with this year's team. There's no doubt about that.
Of course he has. He's playing all these, you know, top 10 teams to the wire. Mm-hmm. With the hodgepodge, he's got a guy from Carter High School. Are you kidding?
Who can play?
Hell yeah, he can play. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
You've been too hard on him, Tony.
No, actually I haven't.
Yes, you have.
No,
you have.
You have to recruit. You have to recruit. I won't apologize for that.
I understand recruiting. Yes, you do.
You have to recruit.
Those boys, today, those guys were playing in the tree, and they played them.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely. Hey, I don't question the coaching, not one bit. I question the effort on the recruiting trail. And it's a fair complaint. It's fair. There's no reason you can't, listen, I know I'm not telling you what you don't want to hear. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. But the truth is the truth. The guy, I want to say is the second highest paid coach in the league. Tennessee makes a great commitment to basketball. The fan base sells 13,000 season tickets a year. And it's not too much to ask in two classes that you'd have one top 100 basketball player. I'm sorry. And by the way, there's not one in this year's class. Yet.
No. Yeah, exactly.
And that's a problem. And that's a problem. As far as the coaching goes, I said last year the coaching was fine. But you know how you win basketball games? With talent. You come close with coaching. And if the goal is to win life championships, then that's great. If you want to win games and get to the NCAA tournament, you better get some players. It's the truth.
The championship of life. So you're mixing the football and basketball.
I'm mixing my metaphors tonight. I'm just telling you that, hey, I won't apologize for that. I will not apologize for what I've said. I will not. I absolutely will not.
Can I apologize for my brother-in-law?
Please.
Who said Pete Carroll needed to come to Tennessee. Can I do that for you?
That was a great phone call.
Yes, it was.
Hey, listen, we've had a lot of memorable calls of 2016, and that might have been the most memorable. I said, Griff, I said one day on the show, I said, give me some names. People were wearing me out on the Butch Jones thing about a month ago. One guy calls in and says, I got Pete Carroll. I said, really?
Pete Carroll?
I said, and I'm going to wake up tomorrow with six-pack abs, and they're going to call me Fabio.
And about 7 foot tall.
And about 7 feet tall. And I'm going to be about a 60-inch vertical leap. And a few other things are going to change about my appearance.
Yeah.
Jerry Cole quit. Mm. Hey, listen, I appreciate the call. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Have Dwight Gooden. Griff, am I wrong in saying that it would be great to get after it a little more on the recruiting trail? Is that too critical? I don't want you to think I'm being too critical.
I don't think it's too critical either. And I've had an issue, especially when you have the reputation of a great recruiter and putting guys in the league. I think he's got maybe 23, 24 players that have played in the NBA that he recruited. It's not like he's Mike White at Florida and doesn't have a resume, or some of these other SEC coaches that don't have a resume of putting guys in the league that recruit. Because when you go in to recruit these kids in their homes, they're asking, who you got? Who'd you put in the league?
Right.
And you know, he can say who he's put in the league and big-time players as well, not just Kevin Durant. But, you know, if it's a guy that hadn't had that experience putting guys in the league, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he has that experience, so why wouldn't that carry forward to Tennessee as it did in Texas and previous stops, you know, beforehand.
And the narrative of them having their hands tied is just one I don't buy. I refuse to buy that.
No, I don't agree with that either.
I'm sorry.
Why? In what area would you have your hands tied?
That makes no sense. I mean, that sounds very convenient, but that makes absolutely no, and I categorically reject that. And if that makes me a hater because I categorically reject it, then so be it. But I don't see anybody else that does what I do. On here 90 minutes after a basketball game, get you some of that. Back to our phones we go. 865-200-5402. Hello and welcome in.
Tony.
Yes.
It's Gus Stoley.
Hey, Gussie, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. I just called to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, my friend.
To the Basilio family. And,
thank you, brother.
Throw in 2 cents worth.
Go ahead, man.
I don't see the basketball program doing anything. I agree with you. He's not much of a recruiter these days. He's burned out, in my opinion, Tony. I think that was an easy hire for Hart, and I just don't see it.
You know, he doesn't coach like he's burned out. He coaches. He's coaching with a lot of fire, man. He is really coaching those guys hard, and you see improvement. I guess that's why I've got a little bit of frustration, because if you just couple that with just one, as Griff said, one guy, one top 100 type player in this year's class, you'd have a really nice basketball team. And as it is, you almost have a nice team as it is.
That's part of coaching, and I think really the biggest part of coaching is recruiting, Tony. And
I think you got to get them.
I just don't see that happening, Tony. I really don't.
Well, the list of involvement, if we can use that term, for next November looks better than the list of involvement for this year. But they were involved with a lot of guys in the off season. Well, at least mention their names that they didn't end up getting. And you know, I would just like to see that. I know one thing: fan bases love the future. So kind of like the number two quarterback is always the most popular guy.
Absolutely.
And fan bases love the future so much that people were really mad at Butch Jones, and people still are mad at Butch Jones, but not as much as they were now that he got the number one player by some out of West Tennessee, the Smith kid. And then he gets a linebacker out of the state of Florida who's a four-star player that a lot of people were chasing. And then he gets a quarterback that a lot of people were chasing. And now all of a sudden, you don't hear that stuff like you were hearing it. And that's kind of the way it should be.
Well, I would agree with that.
I want an AD that's going to light a fire under Rick Barnes and say, hey, these people 13,500 of them have season tickets. Let's reward them. Let's reward. Go try and get some players. Or we'll get somebody who will. And I don't apologize for that. Somebody said to me tonight on Twitter, they said, are you the guy, to me and Vol Colonel, are you the guy that wants to fire Rick Barnes? I've never said anything about firing anybody. I never said that. I just said go get some players.
Well, I'm looking at him from a different perspective, but, you know, I just don't see the fire. And, of course, I'm not there any longer, and I don't get to see him a lot on TV. And but, you know, our athletic program department is, I wish we had a head coach that wouldn't micromanage so much. I wish he'd be a head coach, let his assistants coach, and I wish we had a baseball coach that, well, anyhow, I think it's time to hire David Blackburn myself, and I'll leave it at that.
I think
he'd be a great AD, Tony, for Tennessee. I think he's got Tennessee blood in him through and through.
Thank you,
guys. I think that's what it's cool. And Merry Christmas to you and the family and all your callers, Tony.
Merry Christmas to you, Griff. For the basketball family, would you care to chime in on DB David Blackburn, whose guys were down in Vandy the other night? I don't know if you went to that game, but they came up short last night. Chattanooga did, on the road at Vanderbilt, in just a really weird game, because Vanderbilt couldn't score except from the foul line in the second half. But Vandy somehow won the game.
Yeah, I end up watching that on TV, Tony,
yeah.
The change of plans. Was actually going to the game with David Blackburn, and he had to change his schedule because he's got a football coach
deal
to hire. So he didn't make the trip to Nashville after all. We've been longtime friends for 30 years, and I think if they don't hire David Blackburn, that's going to be the worst move in years. And it just seems like a no-brainer. I don't know why they're waiting. I know you talk about a lot on your show, and your callers are frustrated as well and curious as well as why would it take so long to put someone in place when he's just right down the road and ready.
Well, Dr. Sean Sinclair had a great point the other night, and we'll get off this topic, but he basically said at most normal places, and this is not a normal place, but at most normal places, what you do is you take John Gilbert and you say, hey, you know what? You're 43 years old. We like you. You're a good family man. You share a alma mater of Rick Barnes. He's fond of you. We're fond of you. We're going to let you become the next AD at Chattanooga.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we're going to let you hire this next football coach that they have. So you better roll your sleeves up, because we're getting ready to hire David Blackburn for this job. Not here. This place has to drag this out. They can't just make a hire. It can't be clean and easy. They had to let Dave Hart finish the year for some stupid reason. I mean, this place, and Dave Hart's down there sitting with the governor tonight at the game.
Sitting with the governor, and Gilbert was right near him. And
I mean, they are working it, baby. They are working it, baby. For those that were paying attention, and I must have my sources, because I was told tonight that he was sitting with the governor. Am I wrong in saying that, because I was not at the game?
No, that is correct, and I believe, Tony, I texted you that, because I noticed that he was sitting in front, you know, near where I was. So
now,
yes.
Did you send me the picture from behind of Mr. Tubbs going to the concession stand?
That was not me, but he was three rows in front and was eating lots of popcorn this evening.
He was what?
Eating lots of popcorn.
Did he get the bottom? Griff, give me a final thought here on the way out. You've been unbelievable in the smart way. Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. It's about time for us to put a wraps on this one. Griff, give me a final thought here tonight.
Well, I'm looking forward to the game at ETSU. I just think the team can build on these losses and still come together close as a team. But you just got to get over the hump. One of the keys, I think, for when they play against ETSU on the road, which will be a hostile environment, but once again, they've played the talent, so they should be able to play in this tough crowd that they will face, is at the end of the game, when we're getting towards the time when it's crunch time, let's put the ball in the hot hand and let them go to the basket or make a move or get to the free throw line or go inside. But let's keep it within the system of running your motion offense. But let's get the ball to the guy who's hot. And I think the last two losses that we saw, the Carolina game with Hubs, not getting him the ball the last several possessions, and tonight with Mostella being as hot as he was.
That's a great point.
I think that you get the ball to him if you have to run a particular play. And I'm not trying to second-guess Coach Barnes. This comes from just running motion offense and making sure that they get the guy open for the guys that are on the court just because he's hot. And the players know who's hot on the court. They know who's cold. They know who can shoot. And they know who can't shoot because you're living with these guys. So let's get the ball to their hands. And if they do that Thursday, I think they come out victorious.
And Mostella is such a Vinny Johnson type. I mean, he's a guy that when he feels it, brother, you better just get out of the way. He's a guy that can flat out explode on you when he's feeling it. And he can score
when he's
in bunches.
He's very hot or cold, like you said. And tonight he was just hot, especially from the stands, from watching, really focused in on him, especially. And I just wish that, once again, Lamonte would have been a little bit more selfless and taken on to get him the ball more during crunch time instead of going up against the seven-footers like some of your callers talked about earlier. That's just not going to work in college basketball. High school, you're going up against, you know, some taller guys, but not seven-footers. It didn't work at Carolina, and it sure didn't work tonight.
Griff, I toast you. I appreciate you. My best to you and the lovely Lindsay at this season where we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Griff, I love you, man. You're my guy.
Yes, for sure. Love you too, man. Anytime.
Praise God, Griff. That's my man right there. The great Mark Griffin. It's 8 o'clock in the Eastern Time Zone. Tony Basilio signing off with you tonight. Hope you have yourself a great one. Our Vols didn't win. I had an Alabama fan I was going round and round with yesterday on Twitter, and he was acting like a little fly. And finally I said to him, you know, bro, give me one day among the cool, fun, character-filled Tennessee fan base, then 100 years with that entitled, blue-blooded, family tree, not fork and bunch, you guys call a fan base. I love you. I love you. Till we meet again, have a great night. As I say to you, ladies and germs, remember the one that brung you to the party.
Basketball Jones! I got a basketball Jones! Got a basketball Jones, oh baby!
And the Cleveland Brown Nation, Eagle fans everywhere, toast you. Your presence means that Howie Roseman feels better about himself tonight. Thank God for horrible organizations. We toast you, Cleveland Browns.
Then one day, my mama bought me a basketball. And I love that basketball. I took that basketball with me everywhere I went. That basketball was like a basketball.
Like a basketball to me. Under my pillow.
Maybe that's why I can't sleep at night.
Maybe it's why.
I need help, ladies and gentlemen. I need someone to stand beside me. I need someone to set a pick for me at the free throw line of life. Someone I can pass to. Someone to hit the open man on to give him goal. And not end up in the popcorn machine. So cheerleaders, help me out.
We are. You got me a basketball, Jones.
Jones. I got me a basketball, Jones. Oh, baby, ooh-wee. Look at my layup. It's my finger roll. Basketball, Jones. I got me a basketball, Jones. I got me a basketball, Jones. Oh, baby, ooh-wee, ooh. Basketball, Jones. Got me a basketball, Jones. I got me a basketball, Jones. Oh, baby, oh, we, oh. Basketball, Jones. I got me a basketball, Jones. I got basketball, Jones. Got moves, more moves than X-Lax. Pretty good. Dribble his tongue. That's a lot of drugs right there. Hey, can I get a memory stick? Is my point at the time? Love you, son. Could dunk it with my nose. Hey, now that's not funny, dude. Ha 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 ha.